Well, for years, Australian writers have warned that local content is being drowned out by international streaming giants. The federal government has this week passed laws that will force streaming platforms like Netflix, Disney and Amazon to invest in Australian programs. Under the legislation, streamers will be required to commit at least 10% of local expenditure, or 7.5% of revenue, on Australian content. Well, to find out more, Claire Pullen is the CEO of the Australian Writers Guild. What's your reaction to all of this?
This is something we've been talking about, along with our fellow creator guilds and Mia, and really the whole industry have been talking about the need to make sure we see Australian stories on our screens since streamers entered the market, which was almost, for some of them, was 10 years ago. So it's been a long time coming, this reform.
What have we seen in the past decade then, Claire, with the amount of local production going on and as our viewing habits have changed so significantly?
No, you're absolutely right. There was a point, I think it was in 2021, where we crossed the threshold that most Australians now get their programming through a streaming service of some kind rather than through broadcast television. So it was a really significant moment that showed just how much our viewing habits have changed and how fast. Yet there's always ups and downs with production in our industry. We're such a globally exposed industry, particularly as an English language market. But there was an imbalance in terms of how much the industry here was able to contribute, because our broadcast services, leaving aside the ABC and SBS, who have their own charter obligations, our broadcast services were required to make a certain amount of Australian television, but the streamers weren't, even as they picked up more and more of the market share. So there was real concern from us and the rest of the industry about what this would mean for the future of our jobs and our stories on our screens. Yeah, we are an English language speaking market. So we get a lot of American television. We get a lot of television from Britain and in some cases from Canada. And there was a real concern about losing Australian stories and Australian accents and even Australian ways of speaking. I'm not alone. I know when I speak to other people who have young people in the house back going, why are they all saying math now instead of maths? So it's that kind of cultural contribution. And the minister in his speech talked about the importance of ensuring the development, production and provision of Australian programming. So we see ourselves in terms of seeing each other, but also we're seeing the world.
Claire, what will these changes mean for individual writers? I noticed that even at places like NIDA, writers are being trained to not only write for the stage, but write for the screen as well. What does it mean for the financial survival of writers?
Yeah, look, writing for screen is one of the more sustainable performance writing careers in Australia. So when I say performance writing, I'm talking about comedy, theatre, stage, screen, the various forms you can take. A lot of our playwrights do screen work between gigs as a way of paying the bills. So it's not a secure career by any means. Unfortunately, you can go quite a long time between gigs. But television has always been the underpinning, sort of the bedrock of performance writing in Australia. And when the streaming services have been able to dictate entirely whether or not shows get made, and we've seen over the last couple of years in response to government consultation in this space that they turn the tap on and they turn the tap off, this is going to make sure that we have a certain amount of production taking place here, which means writers, directors, composers, our entire screen industry will have a base level of work being made here.
What do we know about what kind of Australian content punches through internationally? Of course, Bluey comes to mind. You were talking about kids saying math, but a whole lot of American kids are talking Bluey now as well, back the other way. Australian content has done really well?
Yeah, look, there's always the lightning in a bottle aspect, right, when we're talking about what content does well. But the things that we hear feedback from, and of course the streamers can be a little bit more opaque than the broadcasters in terms of their reporting and letting us know what's doing really well. But things like Boy Swallows Universe and Heartbreak High, Colin from Accounts Fisk is having a moment in terms of international watching of it. These are distinctly Australian shows. They're in our voices. They sound like us. They're funny the way Australians are distinctly funny. So it's those shows that are confident talking about who we are and what our life is like in all different forms. Bluey's a very different show, for example, from Boy Swallows Universe or Heartbreak High. But all of them are distinctly Australian, and that's the sort of work that we want to see made here. Yeah, and Bluey's a really great example, I think, because it shows what we can do, while at the same time, for the last couple of years, we've had zero new Australian kids shows on TV when the kids' content standard change. And that's what we risk missing out on, is the cultural powerhouses.
Claire, good to talk to you this morning. Thank you.
Thanks again.